You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and Dave Poulin is now in studio. Some breaking news from the Women's World Cup. Canada is out in the round of 16, losing to Sweden.
Sounds like it got a little controversial, too.
Pooley, you want to be a soccer analyst?
Penalty call, handball. Sweden in the box. Mm-hmm. And they went to VAR.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Throwing out some soccer terms here. And
that's video review for all you people that don't know.
Video assisted review.
Sorry.
VAR. It'll be an NHL term in the next year. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. That'll be the scream to go to VAR. And a little controversy because Christine Sinclair did not.
Wow.
Take the penalty shot. And it was not successful.
Right. So people are linking it to Gretzky in 98.
Absolutely.
And that's a tough call.
That's a burden.
That's a burden because, I mean, Sinclair could have taken it and missed as well.
But you want your best to take it. Now
she's the superstar.
Not only your best, but the best.
Who took it? Who do we feel bad for?
Who cares? We don't know the person anyway.
I know. We're not soccer analysts, but well, I mean, we should be paying attention.
We're on the air, though. Yeah, we're on the air. So, you know, we're not going to get deep into this conversation because it's not within our wheelhouse.
It was not the most recognizable name in Canadian soccer history and one of the all-time leading scorers in the history of the women's game.
Right, and likely her last World Cup game.
And you know, it's interesting because skill obviously is one thing, but taking a penalty shot in soccer is all about savvy and all about experience and all about having done it 100 times. Thousand times, whatever, however
managers,
many times.
Coaches overthinking
She's got 182 goals in international play.
Yep.
What has she scored in?
Now, Crawford, I never ever heard his explanation for not having Gretzky shoot in the Olympics.
My understanding
he wasn't great on breakaways.
Yes.
One of the things that...
I think he knew he wasn't great on breakaways.
I'll be honest, and I don't have much for claim to fame, but I did stop Gretzky on a breakaway once.
Maybe they saw that.
Well, maybe
that was part of the video meeting.
This guy got stopped by McLennan. Don't ever let him do that. But I have to put a little star beside that because he put up 6 points the week before.
I was just going to say.
When you were net?
I got the gate after three.
Well, you know what always gets lost in this conversation because obviously we're so hyper-focused on the Canadian side.
Right.
How could Crawford do that? How could Gretzky not shoot?
Yeah.
No one remembers who was in net for the Czech Republic.
It was Hasek.
It was a good player. It's a good player.
When he was the greatest player in the world.
He's the greatest goaltender of all time, in my opinion.
Right. That 98 team, like, they won the gold medal, I believe, that year.
They won the gold medal.
Because of Hasek.
I know.
Even if it was, you could have Gretzky shoot 5 times. He wasn't scoring on him.
Hasek was.
It didn't matter who was going
to
shoot.
But that's what people like to gravitate to as far as a complaint.
It's because...
It's like, you didn't do this, you screwed us.
Okay, mm-hmm. But the
best... human nature.
Well, it happens in every sport, right? In the NBA, remember Game 5, how could Kawhi not get that shot off? Well,
right.
Because you missed it. If you make it, it doesn't matter who took the shot.
Exactly.
But if
it's
you
like,
miss
it's
it...
It's like free agent day if they said, you know what? Duffy, you're not doing it this year. Grappler, you're in.
Well,
they look at the ratings afterwards and you don't win. It's like, you picked the grappler. Why'd you do that? It's like...
Yeah, but if he had a great show and the grappler killed it,
yeah, what if the ratings
nobody
went
cares.
Really high? And I don't think you're going from Duffy to the grappler is the equivalent of Christine Sinclair and whoever else
took it on the team.
Janine Becky, anyway.
That is the difference.
The Canadian women
who
are out of the
I think is the leading
Cup.
Scorer.
Yeah, so like she's not a scrub.
No,
apparently
no.
She's a very good player. Just we wouldn't be talking about this had she scored.
Right.
That's what it is.
If she scored or if Sinclair took it and scored, it would be a very different story.
But I watched it in the TH offices with all of the soccer authorities there.
And that's just Joe from the bridge.
And before it even started, they're like, look how nervous she looks. Look how nervous she looks. I can't believe they picked her. Look how nervous she looks. Sure enough, she misses.
Well, that's an interesting tie into the draft that just took place where you can watch game tape, you can interview with the player, you can meet with the parents and all that. You never know the clutch gene. You cannot predict the clutch gene.
Never.
You have no idea if Jack Hughes is going to score that breakaway in the Cup final in 7 years.
Correct.
You have no idea.
No.
You have no idea if...
You know, Alex Ovechkin can skate, he's big, he can shoot the puck, but you have no idea that every time he shoots the puck, it's going to go in.
Now, that being said, you see them compete at the highest level. that they've competed at, the World Juniors or, you know, the OHL Memorial Cup or whatever that is, whatever world they live in. And I'll tell you, the kid that Montreal got scores goals. I know he's 5'6" and 3 quarters.
I'm looking him up right
now. I know he's 5'6" and 3 quarters. I know that. But I do think, and I asked Jack Hughes this question on air today, and he's so careful, right? And I just said, you know, the guys you played with, like, you know, 7 in the top 15 and a crazy, crazy group of kids, 8 in the first round.
Yeah.
He said, is there one of them? And he started, he kind of tracked to get to Caulfield. He said, well, you know, Spencer Knight, the goalies, I think he's going to be one of the great goalies of all time. And Z, because one of the under-radar guys is that Zegras, Trevor Zegras.
Yeah, Trevor Zegras, Anaheim kid, yeah.
But he said, but Cole Caulfield, and you're the guy passing the puck, so you know how he gets open. And I did the U18s this year, the U.S. bracket. This kid is one of those kids. And, oh, you were actually one of those guys. And you'd be like, why would he go there and why would the puck go there? Yeah. When the puck seems to go to people, there's a reason. It's not just, the puck doesn't come to me like that. Well, no, because I'm not standing there. I didn't think to go there. Why am I 4 feet off the goalie? Why am I, when that shot's coming, great rebounders in basketball, whatever it may be, you're in the right place at the right time. Oh, by the way, after a while, you're like, okay, that's not just coincidence that O is standing in that place scoring that goal. And this kid scored goals.
I had to double take. When Montreal took that pick at 15, I was doing the math. I'm like, this guy scored 100 goals last year in 64 games.
It's crazy.
I was like, that's got to be a typo.
Well,
like,
you saw that DeBrincat kid that when it was with the Uri. It was like, oh, he's too small. He scored 40 goals this year for Chicago.
I went back and did the math because he played in exhibition. And then,
right.
And I'm like, they're not lying. He scored 100 goals this year. And yeah, he's this big. But
he's thicker, too. He's like DeBrincat or like,
yeah,
you know,
Montreal
some of the
seemed
thicker
to be
guys.
Fine with
slight.
It. I think Bergie
and it's
was
funny because I always think about a small player. He didn't get small now.
Right.
He's been small. And you could argue that it's tougher to be a small player when you're 14 or 15 and there's that big of a size gap than when you're fully growing and you're 23.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of focus on the Maple Leaf draft that they had 6 picks and all of them were under 6 feet. Every single pick, 5'11 or under.
Yeah.
For a team where there's been so much conversation about how they're not big enough, they're not heavy enough. What Babcock would have to say, how other management teams might handle it. Dubas is committed to just going after skill, speed.
Well, you look at the defense group that he's got, that he's going to have to choose some players amongst. There's two things. There's the group he drafted, Hollowell, Liljegren, Sandin, and then the group he signed. And the group he signed is actually bigger.
Right.
You know, Callie Rosen and Borgman. And those are the guys that I think start next year up. I really do. I mean, Babcock already made that decision. He started Rosen and Borgman up. A couple years ago.
Well, and what can they do now, Foley? Like, you look at where the Leafs are at, and I know the Marner contract is going to clearly have a massive effect on everything moving forward. But now you know Marlowe's deal is off the books. We know what Kapanen's number is going to be, I think 3.2. I think Janssen's 3.3 or 3.4.
Yeah, a little bit higher.
But they're up against it still. How do they – because up front, they're made in the shade. And in net, they're made in the shade behind the bench, but that defense core, what are they going to do?
I think the made in the shade in the front changes. The made in the shade at the front has to change in order for them to get better. It has to be adjusted, altered in some manner. And, you know, you could argue, you know, it might be Nylander, it might be Kadri, it might be one of the pieces you don't want to part with. But if you're going to get better on that back end, you're going to have to move some of what you chose to keep when you brought John Tavares in. So had you made these moves right when you brought Tavares in, you say, look, we're too front-end loaded now. We've got too much invested in forwards. We've just spent 13 or 14% of our salary cap on a forward, totally unexpectedly. Not something we could prepare for over 3 years of entry-level play. Right out of the blue, boom, July 1, John Tavares. That's when you had to make adjustments with the forward group to balance it.
If you're Kyle Dubas, are you preparing yourself for what a trade would look like featuring Mitch Marner? Is that even entering your mind behind the scenes?
Every scenario enters your mind. Yes, it does.
Like what kind of value you can get.
Absolutely.
And what team might be willing to acquire.
Absolutely. And I would have no interest in doing it if I were Kyle Dubas.
Right.
I mean, that kid is a special player. I mean, he just is.
Right, but something's got to give here.
But what situation where you got to a point where it's like, this does not work for us, we have to look to move him?
Probably when the ultimatum is the, you know.
Numbers-wise, what is the ultimatum for you?
You don't pay him more than Matthews, but you get pretty close to it, for me. I mean, he's led the team in scoring in two years.
So he's going to be 11.
It's not hypothetical. It's 94 points. It's not. We project him to be a really good player. We think if he's healthy all, and he's been healthy.
But if you're going to give him a home run contract, is there any way you could make it a short term, like a somewhat of a bridge?
He would want that.
Well, that's, but I'm saying the guy's going to get paid regardless.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this today. I'm like, if he's going to get something, let's say 11, just for rounding up, down, whatever type of number, how much worse would that look if he continues and gets 95 points, 99 points, 2-3 years from now? Does it go to 12? Does it go to 13 with growth? Like, could you get him on a lower number on a bridge deal? And would he want that where you're kicking it down the road? Like, I think the term is the issue.
I think they want to lock him up long term, and I think he's looking at Matthews at 5 years and saying,
but that's right. I keep thinking, like, why?
What would the number be on him on an 8-year deal? Wouldn't it be somewhere around $10 million for an 8-year deal?
It has to be more than that, I would think.
Well, it doesn't have to. I mean, let's keep this in perspective.
Nikita Kucherov
just signed for 8 years at 9.5.
Yeah.
This is the point I made in the previous hour.
Yeah.
The only place in the whole league where he can use Austin Matthews' contract as a comparable is in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He can't call up Lou Lamoriello, Steve Yzerman, Joe Sakic can say, well, Austin Matthews got this, because they're going to say, what do I care? He's not on my team.
Yeah, you're right.
It's exactly what it is.
So
unless you're going to ARB and there's comps in the world, and that's not what we're talking
about. It doesn't apply here. So, you know, he can ask for it all he wants, and I get it. And maybe he holds out, maybe he demands a trade, or something has to happen here. But he's not entitled to whatever he wants. I don't think the Leafs would be so stupid to shortchange him. I don't think they're going to intentionally try to squeeze him. I think that would be dumb. And if they're doing that, shame on them.
The hard part is, though, Brian, you've created your own issue. And forget William Nylander, because he's past that. It's Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
That's your direct comparison. So you run out of things to say when you say, well, he plays center. Okay. Well, I drive the line from the wing. And, well, he's bigger and stronger and physically. Yeah, but I've played more games. I play every night. I'm healthy.
Right.
And by the way, I put up more points over the last two seasons. So, he scores better 5-on-5. Okay, well, I give a guy the puck and I give him passes and he scores better 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. It's really, really tough because of Austin Matthews' comparison. Because, I mean, what did Chicago couldn't figure it out? So they gave them both the exact same thing at the exact same time and said, we can't figure this out.
But we just said you could put a circle or graphs or charts, and like there's five different ways to look at this, where you can have this comparable and then there's that comparable and there's this and that, and the Chicago situation is another situation. But isn't it like, how difficult is it to just find common ground where it's like, do you want to be here? What works for you to make it work here? But if they're fixated on a certain number, then it won't work. Like, it just
isn't it interesting. It's almost the reverse of what Nylander dealt with, because the team had great comps for Nylander, and he blew by them all. He blew by them all. The Ehlers, Scheifele, Monahan, Gaudreau, Pasternak.
Yeah,
the team was armed with just a great set of comps and said all these players should make more than you. And Willie said, "Oh, I'm going to make more than all of them," and he did. He did.
And that's what the trickle down is what we're dealing with right now.
That's right.
These players have been empowered because of what the Leafs have handed over to these players.
Well, think of the last-minute comment that Kyle Dubas made. You know, hopefully it doesn't go down to the last minute, because that seems to be the case. Something to that effect, he said, you know, the last-minute thing seems to be the case with us. It's like Mitch Marner saying, the last minute worked out pretty well for Willie Nylander.
Absolutely it did.
Yeah.
But it's not a possibility for Toronto, because they don't have the cap room to go to November 30th again.
Right,
they can't give him $16 million this year for 9-7 the rest of the year.
There's a lot of frustration because Brian brought up the William Karlsson deal, which, you know, was cap friendly. Seemed like both sides. Yeah, term was involved.
But he wanted term. They said, "We'll give you term, but you got to take 5-9."
So done. So what they were working at there was, I believe he wanted $50 million.
Yeah. So give me.
How are we getting to $50 million? and their way was just to it's not quite there.
But you have to add years.
Just
onto it.
It's under six, actually, they got that kid
for. Yeah, 5'9". So it's that's what we were talking about. It, even the number, but it seemed like it was quite an amicable situation.
Yeah.
I want to stay here. I want to make this work. I think I've got a really good team. And Brian made a great point. He could be pointing at Mark Stone and going, "You just gave that guy 9.5.
Easily could have pointed that.
Paul Stastny.
And
7.
Is making more than me.
Yeah.
Max Pacioretty.
7. Didn't do it. So it is capable. You know, it's up to the players. It's up to the teams. Every situation is different.
Yeah. But their highest paid player is 9.5. Then it drops to 7,
I believe.
7.
Yeah.
And he, before last year, never played a game for that team. He just showed up, signed.
But look what he's given them. He's played 82 games each year, driven that top line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he's been a very good player.
Stone. Stone never
played. Yeah. Stone, yeah, right. I was talking about Carlson.
You know, here's a piece about Carlson that I will say. He's been in two different places before Vegas. He was an Anaheim draft pick.
Ended up in Columbus.
So he's seen two sides of I don't fit everywhere with every coach in every situation. I know what that's like to be sent to the minors. I know what that's like to go to bed at night wondering who my line mates are going to be. I know what it's like to be a healthy scratch. He's learned all those things. He's in a place he likes. That's a different thing.
He wants comfort. That every player comes down to it comes to what their priority is. William Karlsson wanted the comfort of, hey, I'm going to be here for 8 years, and I'm going to make good money, and I'm going to be in a tax-free situation, and it works out. He's not going to starve.
A lot of pause, and he knows he's succeeded in that exact environment.
Yeah.
Playing for a coach that likes him.
Dave Pullen in studio. What did you make of the Patrick Marleau price, giving up a first-rounder for 6.25
expensive.
Of relief in 1 year?
Expensive, but that was determined when that contract was put in place, that it was going to be incredibly hard to move. The way it was structured with that signing bonus, with the lower number at the end, it was really going to be hard to move. And if the other side of it is I get to keep both Janssen and Kapanen at a good number that fits my cap and puts me in good stead with those players, one for 3 years and one for 4 years, personally, I would rather give up the first-round draft pick because I know Kapanen and Janssen can play. I don't know that a first-round pick that might be 27th next year or 28th can play.
Yeah, of those three options, the first-round pick is always
and
the
he
one.
Didn't,
yeah.
And let's face it, he inherited that contract. Now, he was here when it was given, but
that's an interesting part of the conversation that's been ongoing. You know, Lou Lamoriello, I think, has to receive the brunt of the attention and the negativity. But I've noticed a lot of people have been wondering, well, Kyle Dubas, where does he come into play in this? Because he was on the staff. But why don't they ever go up? Why isn't Brendan Shanahan brought up in these circumstances? Like, this is, again, the brilliance of the Shanahan role and what he's managed to pull off here. Because he was in that room when Patrick Marleau got signed. Mm-hmm. That wasn't Lou saying, I've worked out a deal. I just need your initial here and your signature here. Brendan Shanahan was in on that. Mm-hmm. So why isn't he ever brought up in this? Why is it all Lou that's taking the heat? Why doesn't Shanahan take any of that heat?
That's the seat.
That's the beauty of the position that he's in.
That is the seat.
That's exactly what it's. This is the best example.
That's the seat
of how well he has insulated himself in that position.
I think Babcock too. I think Babcock pushed for him. Wouldn't you? Because he was kind of his guy.
They all did.
That Olympic team, it was like Patrick Marleau. I need this guy in my team, and he was a surprise pick right at the very end for Mike Babcock. And that was the going rate of doing business to get him here. The only reason he was coming here from San Jose is if you give him that third year.
And you probably knew
he had to deal with the garbage afterwards.
And to win.
I'm just saying it's not all Lou's problem.
No.
It's easy for people to say, oh, Lou just left a grenade here. No. Shanahan was in the room. Babcock was in the room. Dubas was in the room.
Well, Brandon Pridham was in the room.
Pridham was in the room.
He knows he's – you can just see as that comes to that third year and they're structuring with the bonus the way it was structured, the number the way it was structured, two pieces to the bonus, July 1st and December 1st. You knew it was coming to a point where as you're a cap guy and you're writing that, you're like,
This is going to be a problem. Dave Pullen in studio. More marketable devil. Over the weekend, Jack Hughes or PK Subban?
Wow. PK. More marketable devil?
Yeah.
PK.
Yeah.
How
He's
often
the slam dunk for a marketable PK. Guy.
No, I know, but you just had the first overall pick. How often do you walk away from a draft with a first overall pick and you say, go stand in the corner. PK's taking pictures. We're putting PK's picture out in the newspaper, and he's doing the radio hits. And
I said something today. I took a little bit of grief on social media, which surprised me. I didn't think it was a hard thing to say. When we were interviewing Jack Hughes, I said, Jack, I've played the game and I've coached the game, and the guy slapping his stick on the other side of the ice when you're in the power play is going to tell you he's open.
Yeah.
And that's PK. PK's open right now. So if you've got the puck right now, he's open. And it was like, why would you say that?
Because that's the truth.
Because PK's open. And you're going to know it. I'm trying to help Jack out.
But I don't know. Right. Like, why would you take grief for that? That's the truth.
I was slamming PK. I'm not slamming him.
PK's got a bomb for a shot. He wants that on the power play for a one-timer.
You better know that right now.
The power play is going to – it actually could look pretty good. They've got, like, that Palmieri. I like Palmieri. He's got jam.
But Will Butcher can deal the puck from the middle of the top, too. Like, he's a smooth – but he's not a shooter.
Right.
Now you got a shooter. Yeah. You got Taylor Hall in front of the net. Palmieri's a junkyard dog.
Yeah, like they've got some players there. No. Yeah, they've got some players there.
And Ray Shiro, once again now, he's been somewhere else, and he's won somewhere else in Pittsburgh. And there's a little bit, it seems like to me anyway, the way I perceive him, is a little bit more of, and he was also mentored under David Poile, who was the ultimate conservative GM,
right?
Although he'd make huge deals. That's one thing, he was all back to Rod Langway, huge deals, willing to trade stars for stars. Which I love.
Yeah.
And obviously, Ray is right in that moment.
Well, the track record of PK Subban is pretty fascinating. When you consider where he was 4 years ago, king of the world in Montreal. And now, because of the salary, it was a salary dump.
Moved twice.
Yeah. Like, that's what it was. It was a salary dump.
And I think they're pretty happy in Montreal with Shea, their captain.
He's I think they're really player. Happy with him.
Like, they're both great players. It was the difference in 4 years, and people, Weber's going to slow. Hey, Weber's going to slow down.
PK, they got tired of his attitude in Montreal, very simple, and then they got tired of his salary in Nashville because they got to play. Yeah. They got to pay Yossi. Well, they got to pay Ellis.
Well, David's going to do something too, though. Like, you watch. He'll be involved in this free agent market.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Duchene, they're hot and heavy on.
Yeah. It's not that they would have loved to have kept PK, but at $9 million, it wasn't possible.
When I look at that free agent list, and because of what's happened in the last week, I think it's even more the case that Anders Lee's floating a little under the radar there. In terms of a power, there's 33 power play goals in the last 3 years. And he's not a high demand power play guy. He's a cleanup power play guy.
He's a horse. Like that, I read his comments.
6'3", 235.
Yeah, I read his comments.
Are you guys trying to make our day on July 1st more interesting than it's probably enough?
I think we are pumping the show.
I think it will.
The reason I say that, though, is because the Islanders have jumped him and signed Brock Nelson and Jordan Eberle. And if you had three UFAs, and you'd probably go to your captain first and try and get it done, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So the fact that their captain isn't done, and they've signed two guys who, Brock Nelson, Jordan Eberle, a $6 million deal and $5.5 million deal. Their captain was making under four, 3.5 maybe.
Joe Pavelski's doing the tour as well.
He is.
There's another captain who's going to listen, apparently.
Got to listen.
He's gotten this far, why not?
He may be just sniffing around trying to squeeze another year out of San Jose, like as far as term. His biggest thing is, I'm sure he would sign in San Jose, but Doug Wilson's probably going, here's 1 year for you. Here's 2 years.
Yeah, he's 35 years old.
Yeah, he's 34 coming 35. So, you have to be smart. At this point, these managers have to take emotion out of it. Like, Pavelski's been an unreal player for you. But
it's
Doug
a dangerous
Wilson
game. I love Pavelski, but I don't want to sign a guy to a contract where the very next year after I sign him, it's just like Patrick Marleau. I love the guy. He's a – if you call him a Hall of Famer, go ahead. Fantastic guy. Good for the young guys. But I do not want to get to a situation where I watch him play and say, that guy can't play anymore. And who the hell knows when that's around the corner.
So I had a situation as a 35-year-old to be free agent. Boston offered me 1 year. I went to the market as a UFA and got 2 year offers.
Yeah.
And so I left to go to Washington, and some of the comical things you run into. My oldest two are identical twins, right? So now we're getting pushing up against school season, and we're scrambling to get them into school. The first school we had to said, we can only take one of the twins. Second grade. So we're looking at the twins going, okay, you two got to decide who's going to school this year.
Yeah. That's so funny.
But things, you know, Pavelski has an eight-year-old. How does he factor in? Where's his wife from? You know, all these different factors.
Yep.
That's really funny.
Everything comes into play. Free agent frenzy next Monday.
Oh, is going to be on fire.
It will.
Looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
Bit pieces.
In multiple panels.
Yeah.
And lots of analysis.
Let's hope everything just builds to that day.
What are you talking about?
You're part of the day, too.
I'll be over there cruising around, causing
sniffing
problems.
Sniffing around with Brucey Arthur and the boys.
I'll be putting a quarter in Michael Farber. You better believe that's happening.
Oh, yeah. There's good. All of us will be working that day.
All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, buddy.
Have a great night.
There's Dave Poulin. There's a report. I don't even know if it's an updated report on Kawhi Leonard, but it's a report. We'll tell you about it next. All right, so the Jays are in New York now. They're about to take on the Yankees and actually won a series in Boston. And Marcus Stroman was right in the middle of it over the weekend. And Dennis Eckersley popping off. And that's
what
the second
picture.
Time you've opened a Coke right as we went on the air.
I apologize.
Second time.
What
like
a picture.
In 90 minutes,
dude. We've been sitting
I
in break.
I just need some caffeine. I know. I apologize.
You started the show with that, and now at 5:30.
Like you can fire that thing open, but leave your mic off.
I did. It was off. It echoed through there. I apologize.
All right.
I need to open
it's all good, but we just had a break.
Open it
in the break.
What am I, Trump? 12 Diet Cokes a
you
day?
Are no, I'm nailing back Cokes.
I just,
there.
I
Love
need
it.
Some, I'm tired. I don't know why, but I need some caffeine in my.
All right.
Anyway, Stroman had a pick.
It's all good.
Eckersley was torching him for the antics and the delivery, and then he posts a pick of him, or Robbie Alomar
with the arms up, one of the great photos of all time. Listen, Eckersley is a hypocrite. Yeah. He is, because he was one of the biggest heroes. You go
he
back
used
and
to
watch
do
his
the
tape.
Ray Bourque fist pumps.
He would fist pump after a save.
With
after
his mustache and his mullet.
I'm pretty sure it was during that game. There's video out there. It was Olerud. Olerud, it was a check swing, and he thought it went over, and he starts yelling at the ump, and he starts giving them, you're out, get the hell out of the batter's box. That was either before or after the Alomar bomb. And he was a hero on the mound, which you're allowed to be. You're allowed to be emotional. Now, do I love Stroman staring at the dugout and yelling like that? I don't need it. I don't personally care that much.
Right.
I don't think it's sportsmanlike, quote unquote.
I think there's some kind of line between, like, be fired up, be emotional, but don't. He takes it too far.
Be respectful.
It's all about himself.
Right, but Eckersley did as well. Yeah, and I think that's where Stroman is absolutely in the right, calling him out on Twitter and being like, you're a hypocrite. You did exactly what I used to do.
I agree. Competition. Like, be a fierce competitor. I think Stroman's thin-skinned. I really do. He checks, like, he's on Twitter all the time and chirping people and that. And I know that's what today's world is. It's interacting with people and stuff. But I think Stroman has another level. And maybe that's the, I don't know what you call it, the small man syndrome about him or whatever.
Well, everyone does it. Well, not everyone, but I'm sure there are tall guys that search out their own name.
And well, Kevin Durant. Durant.
Exactly.
Prime example.
I don't think it has anything to do with his height necessarily, but
I just think that he's a guy that is a really good pitcher, and he's competitive. I have no problem with that, but I think he goes over the line, and he enjoys that. But you're on a team that's a disaster. That was their 29th win last night. So, you know, you can be as competitive as you want. Like, he'll end up getting probably traded. Do you believe that this year?
Well, I actually got a poll question up online that we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah, I thought that was a fantastic poll question.
Thank you. Circling the date of August 1st, and the poll question I'm asking people, who is the most likely athlete to have a contract signed that is being paid by a Toronto team on August 1st? Kawhi Leonard, Mitch Marner, or Marcus Stroman? Now, maybe some of the voters were thinking what I meant by that was Stroman will be getting an extension between now and August 1st. That's not what I meant.
Right.
I meant basically you have a contract, you're being paid, you're locked in on August 1st, which means if it's Stroman, they didn't trade him at the trade deadline, the end of July. If it's Kawhi, it means he's re-signed. If it's Marner, it means he's re-signed. 57% of the vote, we're talking over 5,000 votes, 57% saying Kawhi Leonard, 39% Mitch Marner, only 4% Marcus Stroman.
Did you have a D in there where it was zero?
Well, I was going to throw that up, but that's the whole point of the poll. You got to give me who you think is the most likely.
My dad's big beef over the weekend is, like, you want to trade Sanchez, you want to trade who the hell is going to be pit? Like, they're so bad right now. Are you looking to get, like, beyond as bad as they are? Is that the idea?
Well,
but I guess these guys are going to say, we want out of here too, because these guys are so bad, we don't want it reflecting our record, our year, anything.
But Stroman's had a great year.
Aaron Sanchez doesn't have a leg to stand on. Aaron Sanchez can't demand anything. His numbers are terrible. He's been injury prone. I know, there's a fly or something that's been flying around the whole segment. Diet Coke you have over
there. I popped open a Diet Coke and moths and flies flew out of there.
I know exactly where that came from.
I have a feeling that it's like one of the, like Landsberg or Koliakova was eating a banana and dropped it somewhere underneath.
I guarantee you they did. They leave a mess around.
And there's a fruit fly or something that started an army here.
Like, I'm trying to concentrate on the tank and I'm watching this thing fly around.
We're cracking pop, like we got flies.
Amateur hour.
Our pets' heads are falling off. But it's all good.
Yes, I think there's a real chance that the Jays take even a further step back next year. Like, they could be worse, but they are not going to be competitive for at least 3 years, in my opinion. So Stroman's not going to be here anyway. And Sanchez isn't going to be here anyway. So I think you've got to trade them. Right. You've got to trade Stroman. You have to. And
dude, what's with this fly?
I don't know, but it's driving me insane.
I'll get it. Well, it'll come over here. Right. I'll get it. Relax.
But as for the Stroman-Eckersley stuff,
I respect the fireness, competitiveness.
I think Stroman is also saying, I'm still in it. Like, I think that's an important element here. Marcus Stroman, if he starts giving up a vibe, like, I'm defeated, I hate it here, this team sucks.
He'll never do that.
No, but
which I kind of have
I support that. I like that. I may not love all the antics, but I like that Stroman's like, I don't care if we've won zero games. When I'm on the mound, I'm bringing fire. And I'm going to be competitive, and I'm into it.
But there's a line between being competitive and slightly crossing it.
That's
being
fine,
a jackass.
But you're splitting hairs.
Right.
And every team that comes through town says, this guy is too much.
Yeah, but I'll take that, again, over the guy
who's mailed it in.
Who's mailed it in.
Yeah.
Stroman, you can't claim, has mailed it in.
No, not at all.
He's energetic. He's fired up. He's passionate. And that's going to help the team if and when they do trade him, because I think other teams will appreciate that.
But eventually, as we know, it all comes back full circle. Because guys will, you know, once he gets raw, like, do any of these hitters do anything to him when they knock it out of the park?
Yeah, they'll probably.
See, like, that's where I'm asking. I'm not suggesting.
There have been guys that have gone back at him, yelled and screamed
yelled at him and stuff. Yeah. Because
Andrew Jones used to.
That's the give and take between a pitcher and a batter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stroman's a fierce competitor. I just think it crosses the line. A little bit, but it's not.
It's
super
a line again.
It's not the biggest deal.
I would prefer that line over the opposite line.
Right.
The opposite line is a guy who doesn't care about anything, is poison on the mound.
Right.
And who has no value, and you can't flip him.
The guy who's injured. I forget his name. Whose ERA is 11.5.
Well, Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that. I don't know if it's effort or passion. It's just
the guy
can't pitch anymore.
Not even a major league baseball player.
No, he's done.
That's what it is.
It's over.
Yeah.
So Chris Haynes from Yahoo updated the Kawhi Leonard rumors and reports. And at this point, you can report anything and people are going to just attach themselves to it. People are so horny for any type of update
because he hasn't given you anything in a year. He's not going to leak it out there right now.
Well, and that's why it's important in this day and age, and we all get caught up in this, myself included, is you get clickbait, you get laziness, where all you do is look at the headline, where if you don't actually read the piece, you actually miss out on what the report was, because the title of this Chris Haynes piece on Yahoo is Kawhi Leonard will decline his option, which we've always known, and will become a free agent. Raptors the favorites to land him. Okay, so you're like, wow, sources are indicating. You would assume from that standpoint, Kawhi Leonard, Uncle Dennis, someone in his inner circle is telling Chris Haynes, we're leaning Raptors here.
Right.
But then when you read the piece, what the report is actually stating is that executives throughout the league view the Raptors as the favorite. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard's not telling him, hey, I'm leaning towards the Raptors. Someone with the Clippers is telling him, we're getting a bit nervous that he might be leaning Raptors. Yeah. But they don't know that either. They haven't met with him. They haven't spoken with him. So this report, Chris Haynes is a reputable guy. He's one of the top four or five NBA, you know, connected insiders. Right. But rival executives view his current team as the favorite. Great. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean that someone in Philly thinks that he might stay in Toronto? It doesn't mean anything. It's just their own perception.
But a lot of times those guys are dialed into something. They may know the agent. They may know something. They may, like I say, they may have had a conversation with somebody in the brass of the Clippers, and they're like, yeah, you know what? We have to work on player B because player A is Kawhi, and we're not sure he's, you know, we think he's leaning Toronto. Like, there could be a little bit of smoke with that fire.
Well, I think it's...
Or fire with the smoke, sorry.
Yeah, it's easy to look at what the Raptors can give to Kawhi Leonard and understand why that would be very appealing. Like, he's already won a championship. These other teams can't give him that outside of San Antonio, and we know he's not going back there. He's guaranteed an opportunity if he re-signs here, a very good opportunity at repeating. Very good. Can't guarantee that with the Clippers. Can't guarantee that with a number of teams that he might be speaking to. Clearly the Knicks. Clearly, he can't guarantee that with the Knicks. And a weaker Eastern Conference. Easier to get through the East than it is the West. So I could see why these rival execs, specifically in L.A., might be looking at it saying, I don't know why I would leave if I was Kawhi Leonard.
All the signs are pointing.
All the signs because of how strong Toronto's pitch is going to be.
What does this deal look like on short term? Because if he's going to do the old, thank you, Toronto, I'm not going to leave after 1 year. I might give you 1 year, maybe two.
I don't know what the money is. It
would just be something with an option
million.
Very quickly where it's like, here it is. And just after one, maybe two, give me the option to do what I want. I gave you your championship. If I want to, I'll try to give you one more and do the repeat thing. But after that, then I'm going to do what I want and
That's
go back
fine.
To California.
Go ahead.
But I don't
Dude,
think...
I'm going ahead right now. You gave us a championship. Go
but,
ahead
but
and go somewhere
I
else.
I don't think he's a guy that is going, well, I'll tough this situation out one more year. Then I'm going to do what I want. He's going to do what he wants. This is a guy who played 9 games 2 years ago where... Again, reports are they weren't sure what was wrong with him. He does what he wants. This year, load management. That was part of the organization, but that was part of Kawhi Leonard.
I asked you last week what the idea of winning did for his decision. Like, if they got to the finals and lost, I wonder if his thought process would be, man, I loved it there. I think that team's got a chance. Maybe we can get back there. But when he wins it, he can just say, Toronto, there you go. Like, I didn't choose to go there. I was thrown in Toronto, and I got you a championship. So don't ever question me what I'm going to do now, because now I'm going to do what I want to do, and they're all entitled to that.
But he may have fallen in love with the idea of...
That's the idea. That's the goal.
Of well, staying.
I don't think he's worried about how people in Toronto are going to feel about him.
No.
So I don't think he would think about it that way.
No.
Hey,
his
I've
jersey should go right to
up.
The rafters right now, right to the first one there.
But again, I don't think he cares about that either.
No, I know.
I think...
But if he did decide to leave, right after the rafters.
If he leaves, then so be it. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I won't be disappointed, though.
I think he's still.
And I don't think anybody else should.
No, because the interest level in the Raps goes from there down a notch.
Like,
or
that's something
five.
That needs to be clarified here. If he leaves, I don't want to hear that, well, he gave us a year. You're allowed to be human and be disappointed.
Right.
It doesn't take away from the memories of an unbelievable season.
Well, obviously, right. the normal reaction from a sports fan is, screw you. You said no to our city.
Yeah. Which I think that's going to be a natural reaction if he decides to leave. Now,
and if they didn't win, that would be my reaction. But he won a championship. I'm like, thank you. Check, please.
But you won't be disappointed at all?
I would be disappointed, obviously. He's
exactly.
one of the best players in the league, in the world.
Yeah.
Watching
exactly.
him every night is a treat. And you don't get to come in here and say, man, that Kawhi performance, both ends of the court, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But go ahead. You won.
If he leaves... He offered up the greatest season in
Austin Matthews signed a 5-year extension. If he won a Stanley Cup next year, wouldn't you drive him to the airport yourself?
No, why would you do that? I'd say come back.
I would just say, but like, thank you very much.
But,
you got
the
championship.
That's such a loser's mentality.
No, it's a winner. No, it's a loser's race because you won a championship.
It's a loser's mentality. You think people in Boston are like, hey, Brady, just get out of here, man. You're from the Bay Area. Go play for the Niners. You got us, you know, our six rings. No, come back and win a seventh ring.
Yeah,
that should be the mentality.
Yeah,
let's get greedy here.
Yep.
Let's not just be thankful that you offered up one great
ride. Oh, after 60 years, you don't want to be thankful for once in your life?
But now I'm greedy. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I am
that's
thankful.
A quick transition.
Oh, it was real
from
quick.
From begging to wishful to greedy.
It's been a week, and now I've flipped the switch. I'm greedy now. Stick around, Kawhi.
I think he's staying, but I'm worried that...
He's been around for one championship.
That's
now
right.
All you care about is multiple championships.
That's right. Why wouldn't you get greedy? What's the point of being a fan if
Dude,
you don't
I
think you
it.
Can win a championship
again? I get
again?
It.
What, are we just going to sign off on another 24 years of ineptitude because they got one?
I agree.
Go for it.
I think he's staying. I got worried when he was doing the tour the other day. I couldn't figure out what he was doing.
Don't worry about that. It's all good.
You think he's staying?
I'm really starting to believe he's staying. I really am. Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, in about 15 minutes. A couple of wacky stories of featuring people on planes. One of them featuring an MVP quarterback. Another one featuring a woman who passed out. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so a couple of plane stories over the weekend. We just heard Michelle Dubé tee up the 6 o'clock news on CTV.
Lady got left on a plane?
Yeah, it was an Air Canada plane in Toronto.
Guarantee she was gooned.
Buckled? Well,
like, she has to be part grizzly bear, because who falls asleep and misses everyone exiting the plane?
No, but isn't there a stewardess that goes back there and says, excuse me, you got to get off now?
Well, that's why Air Canada is in trouble, because how could you miss a human being asleep on the plane?
Passed like, out.
She woke up pitch black in the plane, in the hangar. That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of
nap are you involved in, though? Like, she's buckled and passed out.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, I am a deep sleeper. I have been asleep many times.
You talked about it. You turn a negative into a positive. You can't get off of that thing. You raid the mini bar. You grab a meal, throw it in the oven, and you turn on a flick, and you've got yourself a private campfire right on Air Canada.
No.
Yes.
Wow. Dude, your headspace, it's easy to say that now. Do you know how terrified you would be that you'd be stuck in that plane?
And you go to get off.
For days or weeks or whatever?
You go to get off, and there is like a 3-alarm fire as far as security going, why is this person in a spot where people aren't supposed to be?
Well, I guess this woman went MacGyver. Like, she got into the cockpit, and she found like...
No.
Yes, she did, and she found a way to get the doors open.
Took some foil of the gum and put it into the igniter.
It doesn't sound real, because she claims she tried to call her friend, and then her battery died on her phone, which, you know, who under the age of 40 is doing that? I find that hard to believe. And again, I've never heard of someone falling asleep for the descension and then landing,
and
then people exiting the plane.
One of those multiple rows where you go down. And you're lying. I don't know who.
It's impossible to believe that this happened, but it did. So Air Canada's in big trouble. And Cam Newton apparently
he wanted some
leg
room. He offered a passenger. He missed his flight from Paris to Charlotte. He offered a passenger for more leg room, $1,500. First of all,
that's not
at that status. Why are you not flying first class? Blah blah blah.
Because he missed the flight. Apparently, he missed his flight.
So he was scrambling.
Yes, he was scrambling to get back to the States, and they said this is all you got. He had to fly through Dallas.
And if you want to be a big timer, it's not $1,500.
$15,000.
That's right.
You know how expensive those tickets are.
So the person
sitting in that chair probably spent $10,000 each way.
Exactly.
$10,000. Get out of your chair.
Well, and this is what separates the rich from the. The right. average person.
Correct.
Like, if you offered me $1,500, you could put me in the overhead cabinet. I'd take the cash.
That's a 9-hour flight, though.
You would do it on a 10-hour flight?
Yes. For $1,500, I'd be stuff me somewhere in this plane and make sure I get home.
Five minimum.
But if I could broker more money, I would try to get that deal going. But
Cam Newton, more money out of it.
Yeah. All right, final hour coming up. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will be in studio. Back into the Marlowe deal, the Kapanen and Janssen deals. What's up with Mitch Marner? Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.